When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom. Lisa Goetsch is alongside. She produces the program. She's also my friend. By being my friend, she became the producer of the program. And not the other way around.
Well, I think that's true, right?
Yeah. Well, there are cases where by being the producer of the program, she became my friend.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's not the way it happened in this case. Lisa and I have known each other for many years, and we decided to put this podcast together. How many years ago now? Is it going
on 5? It's been 5. We're in our 5th year. And yeah. You know what's funny? I remember that day and I remember that moment and I was so happy. Like I can remember how excited I was. I was in Detroit for the Detroit Jazz Festival and you came to, I was at the hotel at the Renaissance Center and you came to the hotel to tell me about this podcast idea. I was like, genius. I'm so on board. And look, it worked.
Five years later. Yeah.
I just was so excited about this and I still am. Every week I'm just as excited.
Well, I'm glad you're excited as well. And Lisa had thrown out something to mention today because we're recording this on Monday for the Tuesday release, and Monday is April 15th, which is tax day. I'm looking out onto the street by my house, waiting to see if I see a car go zooming towards the post office.
I know.
Trying to get it in before the 5 o'clock stamp or whatever it is. Don't they keep it open till midnight, I think,
They allow you to stamp. Some post offices are open till midnight, but they allow you to stamp up until midnight. Oh, it's such a horrifying day.
Yeah. Still doing addition and subtraction at 11:35.
Oh my God.
And how nothing in life is certain except death and taxes, that famous quote. And for sure, at least death doesn't come every year on April 15th, although for some people who file their taxes, it kind of does, but
yes.
Yeah, we commiserate with you, those of you who just finished doing your taxes, and now they may have left you speechless. And that brings us to today's topic, something that I came upon when I periodically go back and just listen to the tapes of Maury and I speaking, and something that I heard this past week really stuck with me because I've had a cold over the last few weeks, and at night, I tend to lose my voice. It's, you know, like when you get stuff in your chest and whatever, and you do a lot of coughing, whatever. During the day, I'm fine, but as I get closer to 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, I got to talk like this. It's harder and harder. And then when I wake up in the morning, you know, or if I take some cough medication or expectorant or whatever, I'm okay again. But it got me thinking about what life is like when you can't speak. And it's very frustrating, you know, when it hurts to talk or you don't want to say anything. So you notice you start limiting what you're saying, right? Just the really important stuff. You nod instead of saying, yeah, you know,
right.
you listen more as a result of it. Well, Maury, of course, was losing his voice as the ALS that he suffered from kept up its deadly creep. And the more it advanced, the harder it was for him to speak. And there were times where we had to stop and just sort of rest his voice. And sometimes he'd say, I can't talk anymore today, and I'd have to come back the next week. So we talked a lot about voice. And of course, in Maury's inimitable way, he turned the losing of his voice into a lesson. Listen to this.
My voice is telling.
And yet your voice is going, and that you would sit in silence, you know, sort of experience one another. Talk to me a little bit about the whole notion of silence and the value of silence as you go through this, because we live in a pretty noisy world, you know. Everybody, especially with talk radio, everybody feels like they have to say something. And are you learning something?
I'm learning how difficult it is to be with silence for most people in this culture, including myself. But as I get more silent, I'm learning the great value of silence.
The great value of silence. Now, most of us in this very loud world would have a hard time finding the great value of silence. I don't think you could go on some of the ESPN programs where the announcers just scream at one another and say to them, let's think about the great value of silence.
No.
I don't think you could go on talk radio where, you know, people are vitriolic in some of their rants and say, let's talk about the value of silence.
Yeah.
But there is a great value of silence, as Maury says, one that we really don't think a whole lot about until we have to. Here, Maury elaborates on that.
The value is that you can see more clearly others, what they're up to, and you can hear yourself more clearly because you're not all jumbled up with your voice, but just your inner voice. And thirdly, for people who like to meditate, it is the greatest opportunity. And meditation is done through silence.
So there he clearly lays out three valuable lessons of silence. One, that you can see more clearly others because you're listening to them, right?
Yes.
So you're really having to listen to them. Now ask yourself this, because we all think we're good listeners, right? Most people, if you said, are you a good listener? They would say, oh, yeah, you know, I listen to when people talk. And most of us are not.
I am not. Now, I will admit that. What was that, Mitch? I'm kidding. I am a terrible, I fill every hole with talking. Like, it's just a nervous tick, I think. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when you're talking about this, it is like one of the things I try to do every day, which is fall silent and just listen. It is really difficult.
It is difficult. And you're very honest to admit that, you know, you fill the silence with talk, but some people will say, well, I don't, I let people talk. I said, yeah, you may let them talk, but ask yourself, what are you doing internally while they're talking? Mm-hmm. Are you really listening to them, or are you thinking in your mind, that's stupid, I don't agree with that, I'm going to say this, I'm going to come back and say that? Are you really using the time that they're talking to think about what you're about to say next? It's a little bit like that old joke, but enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me?
Me, right, yeah. You know what, Mitch? I'm going to say you're really good at this. Like, you're a really good listener, and I think it's your reporter in you. You know what I mean? And just listening to these tapes of you talking to Maury, I learn from you interviewing him, because you have a great talent for just going to the other person. You know, I don't know if that you've always been that way, or if you learned that in school, or how you learned that.
I've always kind of been that way. My mother was a great listener, and always made me feel listened to. And I never felt with her like I said something, and then she would ask me a question, and I would have to say, but I just told you, you know, like, weren't you just listening? Not only would she listen, but she would stop me and say, well, wait, what do you mean by that? Or why do you say that? And so I became very acutely aware of what I was saying and its impact. So I thought more about what I said when I knew she was listening, because I knew she was listening very carefully. And
yes,
I think I got trained to do that very thing. I'll tell you that along the way, when you talk about interviewing, an unlikely person, Larry King, mm-hmm, many would not say was a great interviewer, even though he did a gazillion interviews. But I thought he was, because, and he, I knew him, you know, for a long time. And he would say to me, when I said, well, why do you think you're good at what you do? And he would say, because I don't mind just asking a one-word question.
Ah.
Why?
Ah. Yes.
Why? Ah. What did she say? Why'd you do that? Not like, well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I myself, when I've been faced with those situations, and people are just really, they're like waiting their turn to speak, but they're not really listening. They're waiting to throw their story in. Oh, you think that's funny?
Yes. Well,
let me tell you about that. It's one-upmanship. So that's not really listening. That's just a competition.
And you're just thinking about the next thing you want to say about yourself. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm so guilty of that. Like, I hate even thinking about that about myself because I hate it about myself. And that's why when I was taking acting classes when I first moved out here to Los Angeles, I was terrible at acting. You know why? When you're an actor, you not only have to read your own lines, but you have to listen for the lines of your person who is going to be talking to you and with you. I was terrible at the second part of that, and I never quite mastered that. But it really is a great way to learn how to listen, you know? It's not too late for me. Maybe the last 20-some years of my life I can learn.
Maybe your acting career is
This is an eye-opener, Mitch. We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Well, that whole thing about being able to really listen to somebody else, that you can really more clearly see others and what they're up to, as Maury said, is lesson number one of that. That comes from being silent on, really being silent on your part, not using the time to think of how you can one-up them or what great line you can come back with, but just listening to what they say. And if you really do, your response may be, why? Why do you say that? Really? Do you really feel that? Or, you know, wow, okay, I didn't know that about you. That's the kind of responses that you get from people who are listening. Now, the second thing he said, you can hear yourself more clearly.
Mm.
You can hear yourself more clearly because you're not all jumbled up with your voice, he says, but your inner voice. So when you're being silent, you hear yourself more clearly because how many times are you speaking? And you go so fast or you get so wrapped up in emotion that the words are just coming out. And if you ever, sometimes maybe somebody filmed you or recorded you and they play it back and you listen to yourself and you go, I sound like that? That's
horrible.
Not how it sounded in my head when I was saying it. I thought I was so much more understanding or compassionate, but it sounds cynical or it sounds mean-spirited or it sounds like I'm interrupting people because we don't listen to how we sound. We talk, and the voice, it just comes out of our mouth before we even, you know, before we can even understand it, the words have escaped. But Maury's talking about by being silent, you listen to your inner voice. Mm. Being silent doesn't mean you stop thinking. It means you stop talking and you can hear your own voice saying, my response to that would maybe be this, but wait a minute, if I were to say that, that could be taken wrong. And maybe I don't really mean to say that. Maybe what I should say, maybe the kindest thing to say would be to say something like this. And if I could speak, if my voice worked, then I would say this. You know, just that, what I just described there, just that thought process, people don't go through. They don't take the time to think through that whole process. And silence makes you think. Silence makes you think. I may have told this anecdote before, but it's worth repeating. My father was in the business of negotiations. He worked for a company and he negotiated contracts with their different suppliers and different clients. And one time he went to Japan. They had a, you know, big client there. And he came back from that trip. And I said, how was the trip? And he said, well, I learned something very interesting. And I said, what was that? He said, we made our big presentation to the room full of Japanese businessmen. And they listened to our presentation. And then we finished and we said, that's it. Thank you. That's our presentation. And they sat down. And the Japanese businessmen didn't say anything. And they just kind of looked at them. And so there was a moment, you know, and the Americans kind of looked at one another, smiled a little bit, you know, looked back at the Japanese, smiled, you know, and then another minute passes, and there's nothing. It's just silence.
And that's uncomfortable.
The American team grew up very uncomfortable. And finally, all these men on the team looked at my father. He said, well, you got to say something because we can't stand silence. And so he said, well, you know, what do you say? And the head guy looked at him and said, we're thinking.
Oh.
It was a total alien concept to the Americans. Like, okay, they should sit there for a while and just think about what they heard, not just blurt out, well, okay, great, you know. And you think about that, every American meeting that we have where there's a pit, where there's a meeting, you are immediately expected to respond to it. Well, what does that mean? That means you have to have been thinking what you were going to say while they were talking because you have to be prepared to say it when they're finished.
Yes.
Japanese was like, okay, we've heard what you've said. Now let's sit and think about what you've said. And that takes time. But the time presents itself in silence and nobody likes silence. And
no.
You know, there you have the dilemma in our way of doing things and other ways of doing things. And that's the silence. So much to learn from the quiet. And then finally, I want to share this from my conversation with Maury, because he took the whole idea of silence and created two different forms of it. Listen to this.
And as a matter of fact, at one point, I differentiated silence into two parts. I call it the silence of the womb and the silence of the tomb. The silence of the womb is when something is going to spring forth. A creative thought, an original idea, a spontaneous loving gesture. That's the silence of the womb, giving birth to something new. The silence of the tomb. Everything is dead. There is no life. There's no spirit. There's just a heavy silence that covers everything.
The silence of the womb, the silence of the tomb. really fascinating phraseology there. And I wouldn't take it so literally as, you know, a womb, a baby's womb or a tomb, what you're buried in. I think what he's meaning is the silence of things being born, like an idea being born in your head, a creative idea being born in your head, that comes from, first you have to be quiet so you can think about it. So you can think about it. And then the silence of the tomb is when there is no exchange of ideas, there is no back and forth, loneliness, really, you know, where there's nothing to create and no conversation to be had. That's a different kind of silence, you know, where everything is dead and there's no life. And, you know, that may be what awaits us, but that's not how we live now.
You know?
And so we should, so heavy stuff there, something to think about. But so much to learn from silence. And when you lose your voice, as I will do in about 3 hours, when nighttime falls, it's interesting to think about life when you couldn't speak or you can't speak easily, and how you have to maybe stop and listen a little bit more to yourself as well as to others. And silence can sometimes be very liberating in that way. So giving you something to think about.
I am going to practice.
Next time you have to be quiet.
I'm telling you, this episode means a lot to me, because it is, I'd say, if you say, what is the one thing in your life that's not great about you? That is it. I talk too much. I've been doing that since I was a kid. It's on every one of my report cards. I do not listen enough.
Well, at least your teacher spotted it early.
Yeah. It didn't do me any good, but well, look at, I'm talking. I'm in a job where I talk, right?
Right.
But
and
I really
you're supposed to.
Yes, but I'd be a better listener. I should be a better listener. So thank you for this lesson, Mitch and
you're
Maury.
More than welcome. more Maury than me. We will obviously have a chance to talk to you again. We thank you for joining us today. You can find out more about the podcast at WeTuesdayPeople.com on the web. Lisa Goich produces the program. My name is Mitch Albom. And until we get a chance to converse with you again, I'll sign off by saying, see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode, and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday People.